Lord Jesus, we thank you for this chance to gather in your presence and around your word and around the elements of Holy Communion. We thank you for the chance to gather together as the body of Christ, one another. May your Spirit be working amongst us this morning, bringing encouragement. And may you encourage each and every one here in love and good deeds. May we be transformed by your presence and your power. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over this time. And I silence the distractions of the enemy. And I bless each and every one of us to have ears to hear, hearts to believe, and spirits to respond to the work of God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I invite you to look with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, a letter written to people to encourage them to keep running with perseverance. Time and time again, the message of Hebrews is to persevere, to push on, to run, to not grow weary. And this morning we want to look at part of chapter 10. But I want you to notice a phrase at the end of this section that we'll be focusing on. I want you to have the end in mind as we look at this text. So Hebrews 10:25 says, at the very end, "And do this all the more as you see the day approaching." As you see the day approaching. That's the context of what we're going to be reading earlier in that text. As you see the day approaching. Now the day that's being talked about is that final day. The day when Christ returns. The day when the kingdom of God is established completely. The day when Christ is majestically sovereign over all the details. A time when the whole world recognizes who Christ is, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a day of wonder, but it's preceded by days of great trial. So maybe in the context, as he talks about the day approaching, he might be thinking about and referring to the fact that the beginning of hard times is approaching. As you see the day approaching. It's an interesting phenomena that whatever time you seem to live in, people think it's the final time. And they might be right. All we know is that for generations, people have been saying, this is the end of the age. This is the final time. This is when everything's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to be appearing any minute now. Every generation has seemed to have that thought. This generation, the first generation, the generation that Hebrews was written to, had that mindset that this must be the end of the age. The day is fast approaching. Now here we are 20 centuries later, and we're still thinking the day is approaching. And I think we're right. The day is approaching. Todd, I'm having great trouble with my earpiece not staying tight. Maybe I'll be stuck to the podium. So when you hear these instructions coming in these preceding verses, recognize that these are because the day is approaching. Now, if you knew that Jesus Christ was appearing tomorrow, how would you live today? If you knew that a year from now, the first Sunday of 2017, Christ was appearing, what would you do differently during this whole year? How would you behave during 2016, if you knew that 2017 was the day? Well, there's some pretty clear instructions here in this chapter that I'd like you to catch. Look now, starting at verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," and let's just pause. What's he saying? He's saying, since something's true, since all these preceding verses are true, since chapters 1 through 9 are true, since the first half of chapter 10 is true, since all that foundation that he's laid about the greatness of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, how he's the great priest, how he's the one that accomplished our redemption, since all that is true, and here he recaps it a little bit and summarizes it in these simple ways, then he's going to get on to some real practical instructions. But since this is true, that we have, first of all, confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. That's huge. The Old Testament system of worship was described in the preceding chapters of Hebrews, and Christ kept being elevated as the completer of that system, the fulfiller of that system. How all those Old Testament activities and items were meant to show us Christ and his sufficiency and what he's accomplished for us. Because all that's true, and Christ is greater than all that, and the fulfiller of all that, we now can enter the most holy place, the true temple of God, not through a curtain made of goat's hair, but through the curtain of Christ's body, which was opened for us as he gave his life for us, in verse 21. And now, since we have this great priest over the house of God, the intercessor, the intermediary, the one that's bringing the children of God to the Father of God, because all that's true. And it almost seems sacrilegious for me to just go on to my next point, which is in verse 25 there, or verse 24. But that's huge what we just read. That's huge what we just read. In two little verses, he describes the work of Christ. I encourage you, as we begin this new year, go back through Hebrews. Read Hebrews this week. Look at Jesus afresh this week. What he's done for you and for me. And celebrate it. Celebrate the work of Christ. And recognize that you are invited into the presence of God, the most holy place, the temple of God. It says we can have confidence as we approach him. Not a timidity, not a sense of, oh, I better not get close. No, but a confidence to enter into the presence of God. Because that's true. He's going to tell us to do something with one another. He's going to talk to us about how to live with each other. And a word he's going to use here is the word consider. The word consider. Since what God has done for us is true, verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Joel Stegman's in our midst. How much Greek have you had so far? None. Boy, you're in for some good stuff. How many of you can read Greek? Kirk, you got any Greek left? Yeah? Like any good seminarian, I took classes in Greek. And now you ask me these years later how much Greek I know, I would say, I can sing the alphabet song. That's about it. Can Megan sing the alphabet song? We used to sing it around the kitchen table. Here's an instance where knowing Greek is really important. And I didn't get this from reading it in Greek. I got this from someone I read who pointed out to me. And sure enough, you go back into Greek and it's true. That word consider, which means to think about, ponder, mull over, focus on, prioritize, think about this thing, is a key word. It's used one other time in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1. There, the direct object of this verb, consider, is Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, consider Jesus. Then it's going to go on to describe all that Jesus did for us. So the concept there in chapter 3 is think about Jesus, ponder Jesus, dwell on Jesus, mull over Jesus. Let your focus be on Jesus. And now we get to the more practical, how to live out your relationship with Jesus. And he uses the same word, and the direct object of the word is one another. Chapter 3, consider Jesus. Chapter 10, consider one another. The word order in Greek is consider one another for the spurring on for love and good works. The word order is really important in Greek. You can't say that way in English. Consider one another to spur them on to love and good deeds. But that's the meaning of it. So the focus when we talk about consider here is the people sitting next to you. So go ahead, look at them. You got to turn all the way around. Look at someone sitting next to you. Now, consider them. Think about them. Mull them over. Ponder them. Evaluate them. Look and see what their expression's like. Is Mia smiling? Yeah, but she's got a bit of a cough today, so we're kind of concerned about her. I wonder if she's okay. We're thinking about her condition. It's so good to have Anna in the back row. We're so glad you're here. We're thinking about you as we see you. We're thinking about you when we don't see you. The focus after all these chapters of considering Jesus is now consider one another. Numerous churches have a mission statement similar to this. Love God, love others. Well, that's one way you could summarize the book of Hebrews. Chapter 3, consider Jesus, love Jesus, think about Jesus. Chapter 10, now consider one another. I want to encourage you, as the day approaches, whatever that's going to involve, a key necessity for you and for me to survive the day is to be people who are considering one another, thinking about one another, watching one another, checking in on one another, evaluating how one another is doing, keeping one another in our minds for the purpose of spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, it's interesting, I think, that it doesn't say, now as the day approaches, make sure you're loving and doing good deeds. It doesn't say that. It says, as the day approaches, make sure you're thinking about one another and how you can help them to love and do good deeds. Isn't it interesting that the focus is not on me and on ourselves? It's on us looking at others. Now, here's the danger. Are you at all prone to this? Self-absorption. I, me, my needs, my wants, my insecurities, my fears, the things that will make me more comfortable, help me grow closer to God even. But the focus is so easily on me, on ourselves. But here the instruction is, as the day approaches, focus on one another. In Matthew 24, it says that day is going to be a horrible day, and the love of some will even grow cold. Some will cease to have a fervent, passionate love for God. And so maybe this instruction is so crucial. If that's going to be happening in others, then we need to be looking out for one another, considering, focusing on, dwelling on one another, so that we're wondering how they're doing so that we can spur them on, stir them up, encourage them along into love and good deeds. Now here's what's probably going on in some people's mind. You read a verse like that, telling you to think about one another and to spur one another on, and you kind of just let it go right over. Yeah, okay, that's in there. But you don't stop long enough to dwell on it and think about how you're going to obey it. Now, I wonder if this is true of you. Do you think every verse in the Scriptures should be obeyed, or just the ones you like? Or just the easy ones? Or just the ones that come most easily to you? See, I'm challenged by this, because it's real easy to just do the duties that are expected and not truly live out this command of one anotherness. Now, I'm usually not very smart, and so I marvel at when God makes things line up the way he does. Yesterday, my wife wonderfully opened her house and prepared food, and we invited as many of you as could to come over to our house. We had 42 of you come by our house, and I celebrate you making it who did. But we were together around food, around a table, around fellowship, trying to encourage one another. And then I get up the next morning and preach on getting together and encouraging one another. So it just worked out perfect. Now, I won't probably be that successful all year long again to have those two things coincide, but it worked out this weekend. But here's the challenge for us as this year unfolds. Are we doing life together? Are we looking at one another? Are we concerned about each other? Or are we ignoring this command of God's word? So it says, let us consider one another, how to spur them on towards love and good deeds. Then it tells us a little bit about how to do that. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's two things. It's getting together, and it's encouraging one another. Randy texted me this morning and said he had a testimony to share, and I thought that was another perfect timing as we're talking about encouraging one another. Thank you, Randy. But I would love for you to think about, what could you say to somebody else to encourage them? How could you speak words prompted by the Holy Spirit, based upon God's truth, about what God is doing, that would be an encouragement to someone? See, I believe that God gives each person opportunities to do God's work. Different personalities, different spiritual gifts, different relationships. And in that context are opportunities for you to let God work through you to encourage somebody. Somebody that no one else would be able to encourage, most likely, in a unique way that God has prepared you to do. So, as this year unfolds, God's going to bring situations and opportunities to you. Be a person that speaks out, that proclaims, that announces what God is doing to be an encouragement to one another. Now, in order to do that, encouraging one another, you've got to be together, and that's what the first part of the verse 25 says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Habit. Habits form pretty easily. Here he's telling us to break a bad habit. If you have a bad habit of non-participation, of non-engagement, of non-meeting together, of non-congregationalizing, then break that habit. Can we just be real blunt about that? That's a bad habit. All the more as the day approaching, you don't want to have that bad habit true of your day-to-day experience. You do not want to be the Lone Ranger Christian. You do not want to be the one that's always giving out, always doing. You want to be one of those who obeys this section of Scripture. Doesn't gloss over it, but says that's in the Word of God for a reason. And all the more as the day is approaching, I need to obey it. I need to be one who's getting together with other Christians for mutual encouragement. Now, I think there is mutual encouragement that happens on a Sunday, but in all reality, it's not fully fulfilling that verse. Because in this setting that we're in, there's a lot of me speaking and you listening. But what we really need more of is you talking to one another. You sharing what God's done in your life. One of my goals for us as we start this year, that each and every one of you, my goal is that you would be in a setting with other believers for mutual encouragement. What's that going to require? It's going to require some time. It's going to require scheduling it. It's going to require getting off the chair and getting out in the cold and driving somewhere. It's going to require you being willing to get into relationship, face-to-face encounter, being transparent with someone, being willing to let someone into your life. But that's what the Bible is telling us to do, to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, as you think about how to fulfill that, the context of where that verse is so crucial. And maybe just a brief reminder of what was right before us. 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's true of us, so we can get together and be transparent because God has done a transforming work in us. Our sins don't describe us. Our Savior describes us. Our weaknesses aren't what's most important about us. The strength of the Lord is what's most important about us. What He has accomplished is so great that we've got a story to tell about His rescuing us, about His redeeming us, about His choosing to lift us up and strengthen us, and what's more, give us hope. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Hope. God is faithful. And I think that's one of the things we most need to be reminded of. As the day approaches, as times are hard, as struggles are a part of our, are increasingly a part of our existence, we need to be reminded of the hope that we have. We need to profess that hope to one another so they can hear it and be encouraged about it and be more enabled to speak it forth themselves. Yes, I do have hope. Even if my body hurts and loved ones pass away and diseases ravish and financial reversals occur, there's still hope because God rules the universe. And one day, maybe a day that's fast approaching, everything's going to be made right and we're going to be together with God forever. That's our hope. That's our certainty. So we encourage one another in that. So what am I asking of us? I'm asking us to obey Scripture. I'm encouraging you to be a person who looks at Hebrews 10 and says, I need to fulfill what's being talked about there. I need to break the bad habit, if there is one, of non-engagement with one another. And I need to form a new habit of investing in relationships with one another. I need to consider Jesus, and I need to consider one another, working to spur them on to love and good deeds. So let's start practicing that this morning. When the service is done, ask the Holy Spirit to let you see one another and encourage one another to speak words of hope to one another. And then I want you to think about how to do that during the week. Don't just wait until next Sunday to try to do that. But sometime during the week, would you start getting together with a few other believers to encourage one another? And as you get together, I think there should be four components to your gathering. Yeah, some Bible study should be there because that reminds us of our hope. But that's not the whole time. That's part of the time. Prayer should be there as you're truly praying for one another and lifting each other up and interceding for one another and saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this person's life. So prayer, some Bible, some prayer. Then there's honestly interacting with one another to speak hope into someone's life. Talking about what's going on, yes, but not just the surface stuff. But really asking questions. How are you doing? How can I help you? What's going on in your life? And then you want to think about someone outside your group. You want to have a other mindset. As you think about what God has done in our lives, the few of us, we know other people need that. And so there's an otherness to your group's purpose. You're thinking outside your group. Think about this as a dream for us as a congregation. What if every one of us was in a group, meeting somewhere in the region, and as we met, the people that were there were strengthened in God's word, strengthened as they prayed for one another, strengthened as they were in relationship, honest, encouraging relationships, and were also reaching out beyond themselves to the people who aren't yet in the body of Christ. What if where that little group met and where those individual people lived, there was a sense of, this is my assigned territory. And in Jesus' name, we claim the people that live 2 miles that way and 2 miles that way and 2 miles that way and 2 miles that way. And if you live inside of one of our little burbs around here, maybe you have a smaller little radius. But if you're out in the country, you might need to go 5 miles each direction. I'm not sure where you live. But God put you somewhere to minister to the people that live around there. What if praying for them became a priority? What if your goal this year was to reach out to your closest neighbor in every direction and somehow touch them with the message of Christ? Now, as I say that, I'm convicted how poorly I've done at that myself. We moved back here after kind of getting our rear end kicked and kind of just hiding for a little while. And haven't done a real good job of reaching out to my neighbors. Last night at my open house, there was one of my neighbors there. And that's a partial success, but only one out of the four others that could have been there. But what if during this year I intentionally sought to connect to each of my neighbors, to somehow bless them, somehow encourage them, to invite them to my open house, not just the people that are easy to invite? And what if you and I, what if you did the same? What if our mindset was focusing on Jesus and focusing on one another? And the one another reached even beyond those inside our current Christian circle. So I believe that there's such potential for radical, life-changing ministry as the day approaches. I believe this year, God wants to use you to build you up, to strengthen you, to encourage you, as you invest your life in others in the church and outside the church. Would you mull this over this week? Would you be willing to pray about it? Would you not just say, oh yeah, Joel spouting off some first Sunday of the year message, but you don't really think about it again? Would you just really ask God not to let that happen? See, we have habits. Quickly we develop habits. I've been sitting in that same chair the whole time I've been here now, a year and a half. I've got a habit. Thanks, Randy, for moving one chair over. But some of our habits need to be broken. And some new habits need to be formed. See, we've been given a faith as an act of God, passed down to us by those who have gone before and encouraged us, so that we now can pass that on to others. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are convicted as we look to your word and see time and time again how we are not really fulfilling it. So we confess that as sin, and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for your Spirit to enable us to truly do what your word says. Give us the ability to consider you and what you've done, and then consider others, how we might be people who are encouraging them and spurring them on to love and good deeds. May we become a congregation of people who are gathering together in true relationships with one another, where encouragement takes place, where your word strengthens us, where prayer is real and vital, where honest help is given as we face the difficult times of life, and honest celebration occurs as we celebrate with one another the things that you are doing. And may it not be contained with just the few of us, but Lord, may we be a presence in this whole region for your glory, that your love might extend from us to those that don't yet know you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.